Some students say a culture of racism permeates local high school's halls. Educators believe a key to fighting that racism is in the lessons they teach in the classroom. Here to talk about how what we teach can encourage or can inhibit tolerance is Allison Kreiner-Brown. She is the Associate Director of Teaching for Change. Allison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Ebony Langford Brown. She's the Executive Director of Improvement and Curricular Programs in the Howard County Public School System. Ebony Langford Brown, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You can join the conversation. You know the number, 800-433-8850. Are you a teacher? Did you ever witness racism in the classroom? How did you respond? How can educators discourage racism in schools? 800-433-8850. Alice, your organization, Teaching for Change, believes that building social justice starts in the classroom. Do you think that educators can teach tolerance?
I think that educators can create the conditions for students to be able to look critically at the world around them, including what's going on in the classroom. And Teaching for Change, we operate from the belief that schools can provide students with the skills, knowledge, and inspiration to be citizens and architects of a better world, or they can fortify the status quo. So teachers and administrators are going to be a key piece of this because students are learning in school. And they're learning outside of school, and what happens outside of school makes its way into the classroom walls.
But you also have teaching and curricula for this that includes anti-bias education for early childhood, the Zen Education product. Talk about this.
Sure. So my not-so-shameless plug is teachingforchange.org. We exist to provide parents and teachers with the resources to build social justice starting in the classroom. We've been around for more than 25 years. We've published several books, a couple of which I have for you here today, Kojo. Beyond Heroes and Holidays.
I can always learn some more, yes.
Yeah, that's one of our big sellers. And we also published the book Putting the Movement Back into Civil Rights Teaching. If you are not a teacher yourself, many teachers right now are in class, but we encourage them to pass along, you know, our website and resources.
Ebony Langford Brown, in the earlier part of this program, we heard students from Howard County describe the racism they experienced at their high school. Does the Howard County school system have any strategies to try to prevent prejudiced attitudes among its students?
Absolutely. Many people are not aware of the things that dictate what we teach in our buildings. And one of the things that we are obligated to do as a result of the Code of Maryland Regulations, COMAR, is to teach multicultural education. And in that multicultural education, it does outline making sure there are diverse perspectives represented and that we teach from a variety of materials that match a variety of perspectives. And so with COMAR, we make sure as a curriculum office, we include instructional materials that are representative of our student population. And that's starting in the youngest grades through high school and in all of our content areas. So we don't limit that type of instruction to our social studies settings.
Allison, to what extent do the lessons students learn in the classroom impact the way they act outside of it?
Sure. And I actually want to start answering that by touching back on what you asked me first. You said, can teachers help teach tolerance? And actually, tolerance isn't necessarily what we should be striving for. I can sit next to you and absolutely despise you and be tolerant of you. And the field of multicultural education is really looking at not just what are we sprinkling into the curriculum, but how are we even structuring the curriculum in terms of how are perspectives not just being added in terms of what questions are asked, but, you know, what are the themes? Like, how are we centering this around students' lives? Is the curriculum reflecting the students who are in the classrooms? And does it allow them to take a critical look at where we've come as a nation, not just in social studies, but they can do that in any subject? So we have to put resources into the hands of teachers so that they can actually be learning with their students. We aren't going to solve racism and systemic injustice in one day, but if we are going to work toward that in the future, then students and teachers need to be learning and working on that together, and school is the perfect place to do that and where we need to be doing that.
Ebony, the racism that students say is happening at Howard County schools suggests that the strategy that is in place to prevent it might not be working that well. What steps are you and other administrators taking to try to improve?
Well, there's several things we're doing. We are committed to continuous improvement. And while we spend a great deal of time with professional learning for our teachers, there are some limitations in making sure that what we have written as the curriculum are actually implemented. So there's several things that we're doing. We're continuing with our professional learning with teachers related to teaching controversial topics and also on cultural diversity and making sure that there are cultural proficiency classes available for all of our classroom teachers.
Here now is Tamina in Columbia, Maryland. Tamina, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to raise the issue that instances like this have been going on in Howard County public school system for a very long time, and it wasn't until this video emerged that it has been getting a lot of attention. And it goes up beyond just what's being taught in our classrooms, but up to the Board of Education and even our superintendent under her, you know, under the time that she's been serving, so many of these issues have been swept under the rug, as many of the students brought up in many of the meetings. And it's the main issue is systematic, and as in how they address it when people do speak up and start a conversation. And it goes, it's towards the administrators too, as I was witness that I felt like the administrators during this issue were afraid to even respond without checking in with the main office.
Ebony Langford Brown, do administrators in Howard County was this incident in your view a wake up call for administrators in Howard County, or was this an issue you felt that you were addressing appropriately?
I think it's been an ongoing conversation with our school administrators. We have done a significant amount of work with our leaders this year around understanding what they should see and hear in classrooms and understanding how to lead when they don't hear those things. So we have had, like I said, cultural proficiency trainings for our administrators for many years in Howard County. And while there's still work to do, I believe that our administrators are making sound decisions in reacting appropriately as students bring issues to the table.
800-433-8850. What, in your opinion, can the lessons students learn in the classroom, and how can they affect their attitudes about race? How can the lessons students learn in the classroom affect their attitudes about race? Call us at 800-433-8850 or send email to kojo@wamu.org. Allison Teaching for Change offers an anti-bias curriculum for early childhood. Once students reach high school, is it almost too late to prevent prejudice? Have racist ideas that they might have developed become solidified by then?
Well, I don't know that living in this country that you can't prevent prejudice really at all. There's a quote, and I am absolutely remiss that I cannot think of who said it, but it's that living in the United States, you're breathing in racism. It's like living in Los Angeles and breathing in smog. It's there. It's permeating. And so the goal of anti-bias education is to reaffirm children about their own identities and the identities of people around them, but to also, from an early age, teach them to recognize where there is unfairness, where people are being treated unfairly. And by the time they get up to high school, they're still going to be, it's still an ongoing process, even for us as adults. But when you get to high school, you can really work with young people. They start to develop a critical lens, and they've started to see the world. And I want to give you two quick examples of lessons that we offer that teachers can bring into the classroom to start to address some of these. So on the Zen Education Project, you can find it from
teachers. Named for Howard Zinn.
No. Named, yes, after the people's historian Howard Zinn,
yes.
Who famously said, you can't be neutral on a moving train. Mm-hmm. And one of the lessons that we certainly want to highlight is a lesson that allows students to recognize the historical patterns of stolen wealth in black and brown communities by looking at the Tulsa race riots and what was behind that. There's another lesson called The Color Line that actually looks at colonial laws and how colonial laws were enacted to create division and inequity based on race. And so in this case, you're looking at white indentured servants and black enslaved people, what they had in common, what were the structural laws and rules placed around them to discourage them from working together, and what are the lessons that we can draw from that today. So there are a number of resources that we can bring into the classroom, no matter where students are at, and teachers as well. Teachers are constantly learning. We've, you know, as educators, we have to question what we learned growing up.
What pushback have you gotten against bringing those kinds of ideas into classrooms and into curricula?
That is an excellent question. So we exist for the teachers who recognize that their students don't feel reflected in the curriculum. Their students don't feel that their histories, their cultures, their lived experiences are shown back to them, and not, again, not just in social studies class. And we aren't pushing the curriculum out. We encourage people to you know, use our resources. At the Zen Education Project, we have more than 50,000 teachers from across the country who are downloading free lessons to teach people's history outside of the textbook. If you want to talk about the pushback that we've gotten, there is a segment of the right wing that has on occasion attacked us when they feel like
it. Well, one of the emails that we got here that in the first segment that I didn't get a chance to read was from an individual who said that the students who are organizing these demonstrations themselves are racist because they don't understand the European basis of American culture, that the basis of American culture came from white people, and so why are they trying to imply anything else? That's the kind of pushback I'm talking about.
And that's exactly why we need to have these sort of lessons, because if you look, if you go early, back into the early days even of this country, and you look at the founding fathers and the documents that they put together, how they envisioned even building this government, they didn't just take their ideas from the French Revolution. They actually borrowed some of the thoughts for shaping the government and the three branches from indigenous communities. So, Indians, African Americans, Asians, the Chinese, all of these groups have formed this country, but there's never been any point in time in this country where all these groups have been on an equal standing.
Got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. If you've called, and a lot of you have, stay on the line. We'll try to get to your calls. If the lines are busy, go to our website, kojoshow.org. Join the conversation there. Send us a tweet at kojoshow or email to kojo@wamu.org. How should educators talk to students about current events like the Black Lives Matter movement or, for that matter, the death of Freddie Gray? I'm Kojo Nandi. Welcome back. We're talking with Allison Kreiner Brown, Associate Director of Teaching for Change, and Ebony Langford Brown, Executive Director of Improvement and Curricular Programs in the Howard County Public School System, about how you educate young children so they have a more diverse education. The students who organized the walkout at Mount Hebron High School said they'd like to see a more diverse curriculum. Specifically from Lena's speech, she said ethnic studies classes are offered as an elective in Mount Hebron's course selection, but there are too few students willing to sign up for these classes to actually make them last. These classes commonly end up being canceled, showing how much Mount Hebron students, as well as the staff, value learning about other cultures. Do students currently have the opportunity to take the classes that focus on minorities, the role they have played in this society, and or in about other parts of the world?
Absolutely. We have a long list of electives for our students to take related to different cultures. But what's most important is that we do spend a lot of time making sure that it's incorporated as a part of the work they're getting in their required social studies classes, as well as their reading language arts classes. So, yes, there are electives that focus on world religions, on various cultures, and including cultures and religions as well. So there are lots of opportunities for students to do that. But there are challenges when it comes to making sure that those classes run, because as a general matter, there needs to be a certain number of students who are interested in those courses so that we can run them in each building. the challenges are around ensuring that the staffing is there. While we have the social studies teachers, it's difficult to run a class of six students because that means that there are other places where the classes will be too large. So we have to make those decisions. We are looking at some other opportunities to make those offerings available in all buildings, regardless of the number of students that are enrolled at your particular school, by using some distance learning opportunities. So there are some ways that we can make that happen across all of our schools.
Allison, Teaching for Change offers an alternative curriculum for teaching the civil rights movement, among other things. What's wrong with the way most schools are going about it now?
Oh, gosh. We need to go
back
to another
show. How much time do I have?
Huh? Yeah. Okay, in a nutshell, there's in U.S. history, and this has also been transferred over to Black history, there's a tendency to focus on heroes. So many people believe that the civil rights movement started with Rosa Parks and cannot and don't see the connection that, you know, there are many people who would argue the civil rights movement started in the 1600s as soon as African people were brought to this country. And so the need is to take the approach from just, you know, these individual heroes that we're waiting on. And there's even some contemporary learning we see right now, right? Obama's not going to solve racism. And so we have to look at what everyday people have done to push the movement, that sometimes where we saw these figureheads at the front, and what are the lessons that we can take from that? That's going to be a key piece. And also looking at how did allies work together? Where do we see alliances crossing between different movements as people work towards justice?
But it's not just the civil rights movement. It's the fact that, as you pointed out, when Africans started coming here in the 1600s, they built this country. The slave labor on which the country has now progressed is an integral part of the history of the country. I don't see why it comes under ethnic studies. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Anyway, here's Nazarene in Fairfax, Virginia. Nazarene, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I have several questions here, but one of the questions I have is that how can we implement this? These ideas are noble. I have a good example of my daughter. After watching Ready, you know, on the news and stuff, she started crying upset, and I said, let's do something about it. So we joined the protest, and coming back, one day she boycotted at lunch. She got some friends not to go to class. They all got in trouble. I got a call, and I was told that I've encouraged her, and I've been taking her to the protest. And I said, yes, I have. So finally, after talking to the counselors, they said what they can do, they opened a justice club. After 2 weeks, she was the only one attending. Everyone else was just, you know. So I'm saying that some people do this, but how could this be meaningful? Also, how can we, if you don't have this talk at home, like, you know, she knows that it's very important to me. I was not born and raised here, but I think I really care about human rights, civil rights, so she watches me. But these other kids just like having a lesson for an hour, you know, that does not really help. We have to also maybe rewrite our history books, because coming again from a different culture, I see all sides.
Okay. Rewriting the history books would be a good start. Thank you very much for your call. Ebony, how much can educators do to counteract prejudiced ideas that children might be learning at home?
It's a very good question. I know that one of the things we've been focusing on is making sure that students' voice is heard before they have to walk out. And one of the things that we're doing is making sure that we have cultural circles for students to participate in. Many of our schools have cultural proficiency leaders that are supporting them and having circles where they can have this open dialogue with their peers and to speak about their own experiences and how it's impacted them, but also put it in a cultural perspective in the context of history so they can learn from one another.
Okay, here now is Lavanna in Manassas, Virginia. Lavanna, you are on the air. Go ahead, please.
Well, hi. Very nice to talk to you and nice to hear this discussion. As a woman of undistinguishable identity for the general populace, whether light-skinned, black, Latina, or anything else, I am Egyptian, Jewish, curly, kinky-haired, if you want to call it that, dark-eyed, tall, and have been discriminated against my entire life. And I must say that the thing that brings people together is to understand that we're all one. We can't discriminate against people who are atheists. We can't discriminate against people who are Jewish. We can't discriminate against Muslims. We can't discriminate against people because of their skin color, their ethnicity, their beliefs, where they came from, how they think.
Well, do you think that is taught in? You think that is taught in every home in the country, Lavanna?
Yes.
You
it
think
it is? As somebody who had raised two children on her own, I was a teenage mother.
Well, you did it, but I'm saying, but do you think that is what is taught in most homes in the country? Here is Allison Kreiner Brown.
I think this question reflects, you know, a real issue that we're struggling with is people keep saying, you know, how do these individual acts of racism keep happening? How does this, you know, one cop, how does this, you know, one school or this one person? And a lot of people struggle to realize that individuals are reflecting back what is systemic and that has been systemic for years. And so that's one of the reasons why this does need to be integrated into schools, because schools can also perpetuate with the curriculum, with their, you know, other systems that are in place. So we're not just talking about what people are learning individually in the classroom. And I also want to just add in, too, that multicultural education really is a spectrum. So if you're adding in one book or doing your obligatory Black History Month assembly, that's pretty low on the spectrum. And, you know, one assembly multicultural education does not make, not just one elective. So it has to be integrated not just in ethnic studies classes, but throughout the school and in the curriculum.
We got an email from Jack in Fairfax who writes, in preschool and elementary school, the kids integrate, seem to ignore race. By high school, they seem to self-segregate. It would have been interesting to hear the students comment on this. Students, unfortunately, are no longer here. But how do educators address this? Why does this happen? Well, I think a lot of this has to do with what are known as safe spaces, are they not? Where people feel they are in an unfriendly environment, and therefore they self-segregate in order to feel that they have safe spaces in which they can congregate. Is my understanding incorrect?
So it's a difficult, well, it's a complicated question. Again, Teaching for Change, we actually have an education book list. So for people who are trying to explore these issues, one of the books I know that is on that list is Beverly Daniel Tatum's well-known Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? And these are the kinds of questions that educators need to be asking themselves. At the early childhood level, the whole idea behind anti-bias early childhood is that young children especially are going to be absorbing the messages around them that are implicit and explicit. And so the goal of anti-bias education is to specifically teach them to recognize when they are seeing, receiving images or when someone is being treated differently or, you know, well, let's look at the books that are reading. Are we reading books about different people, different classes, different racist cultures? So it looks different at different ages, and it's in whatever grade level you are teaching or working with. It's an important question that parents and educators need to be asking and looking for resources.
We're almost out of time, but your organization also encourages teachers to talk about what's happening in the world around them. For example, the unrest in Ferguson. Why is it important to talk to students about current events like that in the classroom setting?
Sure.
In 30 seconds or less.
In 30 seconds or less. So I'm going to paraphrase a quote by Enid Lee, who has some phenomenal pieces in our Beyond Heroes and Holidays book. That which is talked about in school is that which is validated. And so what's happening is these things are happening in the world and in students, happening to students directly. They see it on the news and they're trying to make sense of it. And if it's not part of their learning, it sends a message to them that it's not important.
Allison Kreiner Brown is the Associate Director of Teaching for Change. Ebony Langford Brown is the Executive Director of Improvement and Curricular Programs in the Howard County Public School System. Thank you both for joining us, and thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Namdi.
Thanks for listening to The Kojo Namdi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.